In Matthew chapter number 6, this is our text, and then we're going to be backing up into chapter number 5. Jesus said in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." I don't know about you, but I'd sure hate to be called a hypocrite. And I guess even worse than being called a hypocrite would be to be guilty of being a hypocrite. Jesus said, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." He said, "For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." In verse number 6, Jesus uses the word "but." He said, but there's a hinge right here. He said, there's a right way to pray. He said, but when thou prayest, he said, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege to stand in this pulpit, in this place, and open this Bible. God, I pray this morning that, Lord, we would not just open our Bibles, but we would open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, receive at the hand of God this morning that you have for us. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to the heart of that individual that may think, Lord, they're too low, too far gone. I pray, Lord, as Sister Danielle sang, Lord, that you'd make it real to them that, God, your grace is greater than whatever the need in their life. And I pray, Father, that you'd meet the needs of your precious people. God, I know you've spoken to my heart. God, I know I fail in this area. I know, Lord Jesus, that real revival, you want to give it. But it'll only come, our Lord, as we have that personal revival in our hearts and in the prayer closet. And Father, I pray that you'd speak truth this morning that would transform our lives. God, will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many times in the gospel, I'm not going to take the time to turn, but Jesus would go apart up into a mountain to pray. He would get away from the crowd. He would get away from the busyness. Brother Brian, the overcharged life that we might sometimes find ourselves in. And he would want to be alone with his Father. And the Lord has shown me some things as I've looked at this that I've never thought about these things at this angle before. I'm praying it'll help me. I'm praying it'll help you. How many of you, just in the onset of the message, how many of you could say, preacher, if there's one thing that the devil fights and the flesh fights and the world fights, it's that time alone with God. Amen. How many knows that's right?
Yeah. Amen.
And, you know, maybe, Brother John, I haven't forgotten what you preached that Wednesday night. It's been in my heart. I'm glad the Lord's still working on me. I ain't there yet. Amen. Apostle Paul said he hadn't attained either. Amen. But he was going to press on. He was going to reach for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. And as I think about this morning, I want to back up. We'll come back into this chapter probably tonight. I think, tonight. But I want to talk about that prayer closet and that life. By way of introduction, turn with me, please, over to the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 91, I believe it is. Psalms chapter 91. The psalmist here said, "He that dwelleth." Now, to dwell means it's something that's consistent. It's not just something that happens once in a while. In other words, if you say, "Preacher, where is your dwelling?" I wouldn't say right out here beside the church in that 30-foot holiday rambler. I stay there once in a while, but that's not my dwelling. Where I live is down in Sir Goinsville with Miss Eve, amen, down there. And she likes to remind me of that every once in a while when I stay gone too much, amen. But that's my dwelling. That's where I live. And God wants us to live in this secret place. He doesn't want it just to be a once in a while or a thing that is a leftover in our lives, but He wants it to be a place of priority in our lives. And the Bible said here, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want to ask you a question this morning. How many believes that Satan hates our Father? How many believe he hates our Savior? Okay. How many believes he hates us as God's people? All right, now, with that in mind, if you have the Lord and His throne, and we do, the Bible said, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." With that in mind, would you want, if you were Satan, would you want God's children abiding under the shelter and the wings of the Almighty? Would you want them? How many knows what I'm getting at? Amen. In other words, He's going to do anything that He can do to keep us away from the throne of God, keep us away from the secret place, to keep us from dwelling in the presence of God. I believe that. Look at verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for their terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." What I'm going to show you this morning is God has spoke to my heart, and we back up into chapter number 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus has given us these wonderful beatitudes, and He's given us these things in our life. My friend, I believe the primary purpose is that we might abide under His wing, that we might stay with Him in the secret place. I believe, listen, I don't believe in the Bible the order is any accident. I believe you have the Sermon on the Mount in chapter number 5, and then in chapter number 6, He said, "When you pray, enter into your closet." Amen. I'm telling you, I believe there's some things that God would help us to see and understand why some of the things go on in our lives that go on. In our lives, it's to try to keep us from the secret place with God Almighty. I'm going to say something to you this morning. I don't want to be foolish, but I doubt if the majority, I'm talking about people that actually know Christ as Savior now, not just professors but possessors, I doubt if the majority will ever be consistent in the secret place. But I'm telling you something this morning. I believe God could take a minority that would be faithful in the secret place and shake a church and shake a community and shake families and shake a country for the glory of God Almighty. I believe that with all my heart. Let's look here backing up into chapter number 5 this morning, there's some things that I want to share with you as the Lord laid it on my heart. Look at chapter number 5, and the Bible said here in verse 1 of chapter number 5, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying," he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How many knows that the flesh is not geared towards humility? The flesh is geared just the opposite. He said, "Preacher, I don't know why I fight such a battle with pride." I'm talking about preacher now, but I'm talking about you. I'll tell you why. Because our enemy, the devil, knows that if we've got pride, Brother Gale, we ain't going to be over there under the wings. Amen. We're not going to be over there in the secret place. And so he's forever trying to get us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Amen. Because he doesn't want us to dwell over there. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Watch this now. The kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 4. He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I'm just going to go through these quickly this morning, but the Bible said we're to mourn with them that mourn, and we're to weep with them that weep. You say, "Preacher, how come some people that just seem to have no compassion, and they really, you know, they just live their own life, and they really don't care about carry the burdens of others. They never enter into someone else's burden." Listen, I believe there's something going on here in this Bible. It's not just about a person being selfish. It's about a person being selfish so that Satan can keep them separated from the secret place with God. He wants to keep them out of that secret place because he doesn't want to see. How many knows he don't want to see a great move of God? He don't want to see souls saved. He don't want to see missionaries supported. He don't want to see the church grow. He don't want to see us have personal revival. He don't want to see anything happen for God's glory. He still thinks he can defeat him. Watch this. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Let me just say this morning. Listen, I'm just trying to take my time. It doesn't matter to me if it takes weeks. We're going to get through this. I tell you what, if just one or two or three or four or eight or ten find that secret place on a consistent basis, it'll be worth it all. I'm telling you, my friend, some people think, "Well, I know I don't read my Bible like I should, but you know, that's not really a big deal." Here's the big deal. When we're not reading our Bible like we should, we're over here instead of over there. We're not dwelling in the secret. See, he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I'm trying to get us to see there's something going on here in chapter 5. I've never heard this preached, but I believe it's right. I believe Jesus tells us all of this, all these blessings. Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Because he knows that if, my friend, we will come over here and look at this list, then we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And we can have a spot under his wing. My friend, when we don't hunger and we don't thirst after righteousness, we're not going to be filled. And when we're not being filled, then we're not going to dwell in the secret place. We're not going to have a closet prayer life. And we're not going to, my friend, have the blessings of God. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's something, my friend, how that many of God's people, when they need mercy, they want mercy to be present. But when somebody else needs mercy, they don't have much mercy to show. Can I tell you, I thank God I serve a merciful God. And God said, my friend, listen, the reason some people, my friend, listen, are not going to dwell in the secret place, they don't show others the mercy that God has shown them. God is holy. Even in 2015, God is still holy. My friend, if we can't show mercy to others, we're not going to be welcome in that secret place. He said down through here, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Anybody have a problem right there besides me? Help me. He said, preacher, what in the world is God showing you? I tell you what he's showing me. The reason, my friend, listen, we fight this battle with being pure in our thought life and pure in our heart. It's not so much just because we're wicked, but it's because the enemy wants to keep us separated from our Father. He don't want us to have that place to dwell, that secret place. Enter into our closet. Listen to me carefully right here. I say this to the young people. I think I told one of our adults a while back. I don't share a lot about my past, especially among young people, because it's ugly. Let me tell you something about an ugly past. It'll follow you all the way to your grave. You say, preacher, why do you want young people to live right and to live holy and to be pure? Because I don't want that stuff following them all the way to their grave. Say amen. Because I love them. I tell you what, it's enough, my friend, to try to keep your heart and your mind pure, Brother Bizzle, when you've not sown to the wind and the whirlwind in your past, let alone when you have. Amen. And anybody with any sense at all, my friend, that's lived in a life of sin for any amount of time would not want others to live in that life. Sin scars. God forgives sin. Yes, he does. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a whole lot more difficult for a man to be pure in heart when he has sown to the things of this world. Can I get an amen from the congregation? We can do it. Yes, we can. But we ought to want our children spared that mess. We shouldn't want them to go down the same road that we went down. The Bible said, blessed are the peacemakers. I don't think that's talking about the motorcycle group. Amen. But those that love peace, some people would rather have something stirred up than to live, than to eat. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, exceedingly glad, the Bible said, for great is your reward in heaven. I'll tell you this morning, there ought to be rejoicing in the lives of the children of God. And when we are living like Jesus told us to live, there will be rejoicing. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I see here not only the rejoicing in these first 12 verses as a result of living for God and walking with God. But I see in these next few verses, not only rejoicing, but I see a reflecting. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I'm going to make a statement. You don't have to agree with me. There have been times in this preacher's life in 28 years of being saved, I believe those words would have described me pretty good. Good for nothing. You say, preacher, I wouldn't admit that. I'll tell you what I wasn't doing. I wasn't dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Say amen. I tell you, my heart wasn't pure. My mind wasn't pure. My thoughts weren't pure. How many's with me this morning? I tell you, Jesus said, listen, we're supposed to be a reflection of the grace of God that Sister Danielle spoke about and sang about this morning. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And when we're not, it's not just about being good for nothing, but we're not going to enjoy His presence. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is what the Lord's helped me to see. All of this onslaught of the enemy, the devil, the flesh, and the world, here's what it's all about. Keeping us from this place. I mean, remembers what God told Moses. He said, Moses, he said, behold, there is a place by me. How many knows God's no respecter person? How many know if God made a place by him for Moses, he's made a place by him for every one of his children. Amen. And God wants us to occupy that place. God wants us, my friend, listen, my friend, be consistent in that place. The Bible talked about reflecting. He said, you're the light of the world. He said, men don't light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I've never looked at this from this angle before. I've always believed we should let our light shine, but when we're not letting our light shine, the main thing that the enemy's trying to do is keep us out of the secret place of the Most High. Years ago, I was in Missouri. Was in a prison. There was a terrible, terrible thunderstorm going on. Lightning was dancing everywhere. Out there, they have what they call VICs, Volunteers in Corrections. There was no officer. You had your own radio. You had your own body alarm. And you were responsible for the men that came out to the chapel. And I was out there one night in Farmington on the B side in Farmington, Missouri. And we got about half of the men signed in. There was about 30 or 35 men. We got about half of them signed in. The other half were standing in the hallway. And the lights went out. The electricity went off. And the backup generator did not fire. In a prison, you've got a generator. I mean, you have to have... The locks are electric. The cameras are electric. Everything's electric in a prison. And you need that for security. Well, the generator didn't fire. About that time, back over the door, we have emergency lights over here and back here. About that time, the emergency lights came on, and I breathed a sigh of relief. They stayed on for about 30 seconds. About 30 seconds. I guess the battery was dead or something in there in the connection went wrong. They didn't get dim. They went out instantly. And if I never moved from where I'm standing in that chapel, you couldn't see your hand right there. You said, preacher, were you nervous? I don't know if that's a strong enough word for what I was. I've got 35 inmates gathering together for church. If ever there was a time to shank someone, that would have been a good time to do it. It's dark. No one would have known. And about that time, a man took a cigarette lighter and he lit it. And he held it up in that chapel. You have no idea what that little bit of light did in this preacher's heart. I told the other men, I said, men, come on in. Don't worry about signing in. You can't see the book anyway. Come on in. We went in there and we sat there together for 45 minutes before the lights came back on. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that light had a great effect because that light was held up. It was a little light. You know what the devil will tell you and I? You ain't much. You're little. I'm going to tell you what, that little light made a huge difference in that chapel that night. I remember writing my prayer letter, and I remember saying in the prayer letter, it's the only time in my life that I was glad I was sitting in the smoking section. I didn't have a lighter, amen. But thank God somebody, how many saved this morning? Amen, how many's got a light this morning? Don't put it under a bushel. Let it shine for the glory of God. It'll make a difference. But here's what God told me. When we don't, it's not just about, Brother Rose, that sinner not seeing Jesus, not seeing the way. I believe with all of my heart, he has a much deeper intent on his mind. His intent is to keep us from our Father. How many knows when you spend time with your Father, you're going to be more like him? We're going to love him more, Sister Jennifer. His heart's going to become our heart. No wonder Jesus Listen, this morning I could preach all afternoon, but no wonder Jesus has given us these things for our life. He wants us to be able to dwell in the secret place. And he realizes without these things, without them, without hungering and thirsting after righteousness, without being merciful, without being humble, blessed are the poor in spirit, without being meek, without letting our light shine. I believe sometimes if we're not careful, we forget that we have an enemy. The Bible said your adversary, the devil, walketh about. Now listen to me carefully. How many understands well enough to know if you're over here under his wing, it's hard for him to get to you? How many knows that? Amen. Now I know that God is with us and God will never forsake us and he goes with us. I know that. Amen. But I'm going to say something right here. It's one thing to have God residing in your life. In other words, he's a residence in your life. Everybody that's saved has the Holy Spirit living in them. But it's another thing for God to be the president in your life. Not just to reside in your life, but to preside in your life. That's why later Jesus would say, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. This morning I'm going to uncouple right here. But I hope that already God has whet our appetite to see what's going on. Brother Brian, going back to the lesson, brother, thank God for that lesson on being overcharged. It was so wonderful. I've been praying for you and Sister Kim because I know with all y'all got going on, it would just be so easy. Amen. They're in the middle of a remodeling their home, and it's a job. You lay down at night and you're thinking about something. You have to be. You'd be thinking about the next step. And I thought about that being overcharged. Brother Brian brought a wonderful Sunday school lesson on being overcharged. But even the being overcharged, it's not so much about us being tired or us being, not effective for the glory of God. I believe even the being overcharged part is a ploy and a trick of the devil to keep us from this place, to keep us from that secret place. He said, preacher, I'm too busy for that. How many knows that in preacher's life there have been times he's been too busy for that too? You know what I would say to somebody that's too busy for God? You're too busy. I'm too busy. And we're missing. You know, my watch is up there. But you can take the band off of my watch and still tell time with it. You can take the pins out of it and still tell. You could pull the stem out of it and still tell time with it. You could break the crystal on the face and still tell time with it. You could pop the back off of it and still tell time with it. Now, the old watches, they didn't have a battery in them. You wound them. Then they come out with something a little bit better. It was called a self-winding watch. I worked with a guy in a machine shop, and the running joke in that machine shop was he didn't do enough work to keep his watch wound. Amen. But when you had that old watch that you wound, there's a part in there that without it, you're not going to tell time. It's called the mainspring. We're living in a generation. I said we, not you. You listen to sermons, you read, and you see how much time is spent on this subject this morning. We're living in a generation that has forgotten to keep the main thing, the main thing. Depending on where you go, some would say, well, preaching's the main thing. You go in some churches, it's evident preaching ain't the main thing because they sing for 55 minutes and preach for five. Preaching ain't the main thing. But I say, even if you preach for 55 minutes and sing for 5, preaching's still not the main thing. You can go into some and hear some preaching and say, well, soul winning's the main thing. Or missions is the main thing. Preaching's a thing. Soul winning's a thing. Singing's a thing. But I tell you what I believe God has spoke to my heart about. Right here is the main thing. And everything that's trying to hinder us is trying to keep us from that place with God. Because He knows, our enemy knows, if He can keep us out of that place, He can keep us powerless. He can keep us paralyzed. Well, we don't have victory over sin. We don't have victory over self. We don't have victory over our thoughts. We don't have victory over action. How many knows I'm telling it right? Have you ever lived a period of time where you didn't have any victory? I'll tell you where you didn't live it. You didn't live it over there. Over there. There's victory. And the songwriter, Brother Larry, got it right. He said, victory in Jesus. No wonder the enemy wants to keep us away from the secret place. That might not sound like a Sunday morning message, but it's what God put on my heart. I'm fighting the same battle you're fighting. But with God's help, we can win. With God's help, we can win. With God's help, we can win. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible. Lord, I believe this could be a turning point, Lord, in our lives. Lord, all of these things that you told us in the Sermon on the Mount are so important. You've told us, our Father, that we ought to be rejoicing and we ought to be reflecting our Savior. Lord, I pray that we would understand and see in the Word of God that, Lord, as we go on through this chapter tonight and into chapter 6, we would see, Lord, that the enemy is trying to keep us out of the secret place. Lord, I think about my life and think about something, Lord, that a man said years ago. He said, my greatest fear is not that I will fail, but my greatest fear is that I will succeed at something that really doesn't matter. Oh God, help us to succeed. Lord, the only time in the Word of God the word success is used is in Joshua 1. Lord, it's centered right there around the Word of God and obedience to your Word. Then thou shalt have good success. Observe to do all that I've commanded thee. Father, I pray that you would help us to have success in that that really does matter, our walk with God. Lord, draw us nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Help us to dwell in the secret place. Help us not to be overcharged. Help us to be pure in heart. Help us, our Father, to be merciful. Help us to let our light shine. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that we have an enemy that wants to drive a wedge between us and our Father. Help us today.